Genesis 25 and Genesis 27. Genesis 25 and Genesis 27. This is the conclusion of our series entitled, You Asked For It, where you all were able to let us know what it is that you want to hear. And this entire summer, all that we have done is just gone and answered your questions. And today we're concluding what we picked up and started on last week as it relates to forgiveness.
And last week was really good, y'all. So if you haven't yet downloaded that message, heard it, you know, I encourage you to go do it. There's a lot of nuggets we probably won't get to today. We'll pick up where we left off last week, but probably won't get to a lot of the things that we talked about last week. You do not want to miss those good wisdom nuggets.
And so to give you all kind of a recap, and for those who may not know, because it's been a long time since you've been at church, my Lord.
He was trying to give me the right hand of fellowship. Can y'all believe
it? I was trying to give her a new members class today.
He was trying
today.
To try me.
For those who do not know, this is my lovely wife, Ashley.
Hi, family. Hey, fam.
And it's our first time ministering together.
Months?
Since we had our child. So this is breaking off the cobwebs here.
I'm so happy to be back. Although I was with my online fam, me and Asher were holding it down with our worship with our online fam every single Sunday. So we were still here, just not in person. But it's so good to be back with you all and seeing your faces and just fellowshipping with my family. It feels good.
I told her about y'all. I said y'all treated me so well and so kind, and just grateful to be sharing with Ashley today. We've actually had some great sleep for the last week and a half, y'all.
Yay.
Let me tell you.
Which I heard is amazing because our baby's only 2 months. He'll be 3 months, what, in 2 weeks?
A week now.
So, yeah. So we heard that the 5 hours plus is good.
He's been going 7 at a time, y'all.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to tell y'all how he initiated us.
No, we're not going to do that today.
Figured out that being friendly ain't as easy as it used to be.
Amen. We'll do a marriage and family session for that.
Yeah, because we got to figure this out. I went from a loving father to let that boy cry. We got business to take care of. We'll figure it out here. Amen.
Y'all pray for him.
Y'all
just continue to pray.
Y'all pray for me. Amen. All right.
Let's jump into
the word of the Lord?
Right.
Hallelujah.
Let's jump into it. Let's get to it.
Give y'all this real. Genesis 25 and 27. Just to recap from last week, you all need these main points in order for us to really build. And the first one is someone say and type in forgive, forget, remember.
Forgive, forget, remember.
Forgive, forget, remember. As I said last week, the saying forgive and forget is not incorrect, it is incomplete. And so to make the saying forgive and forget correct, you have to add this last piece called remember. And so when you forgive others, you forget the debt of apology. They don't owe you an apology, but you need to remember the lesson. That is biblical, and we'll talk more about that on today. But we also talked about something called the currency of life. This is what helps life and relationships to function and to thrive. And there are four areas that we brought up. It was the area of money or finance. It was the area of power or influence. It was the area of love and in the area of respect. And so anytime we are perceived to have gone without resources, finances, anytime we're perceived to have lost our reputation, lost our influence, loss of status, anytime we're perceived to have lost love, anytime we are perceived to have lost respect, fear is introduced, and thus the opportunity to exercise in forgiveness. So again, let's recap what the currency of life is. Everybody say and type in money.
Money.
Everybody say and type in power.
Power.
Everybody say and type in love.
Love.
Everybody say and type in respect.
Respect.
All right. We are caught up in the recap. And so today we want to look at the story of Jacob and Esau in the book of Genesis. Mm-hmm. And this is a very scandalous story about family.
Yeah.
Now, I know they're probably the only family that's ever had some scandal in it.
Just look straight ahead.
Look straight ahead. And as we were looking at this story got extremely real. And so we want to take you through a lot of scripture. But, you know, again, we want you all to see from the Word of God what it says concerning forgiveness. But today we're going to emphasize the other aspect of forgiveness called restoration or reconciliation. So there is forgiveness, but then there's also the side of reconciliation and restoration that is separate from forgiveness. And that's why we've had two parts. Last week, I talked about our responsibility in forgiveness. And it's our responsibility to forgive whether or not we believe the person deserves it or not.
Amen.
Because I want you all to understand this. Your healing from what took place is independent of the person's apology. You should not hit pause in your life waiting for someone to come correct or for someone to right their wrongs. You're going to delay your growth. You're going to delay your development. So forgiveness is for you and it's necessary. And we have to exercise in forgiveness because there's some instances where we do well with forgiveness. And there's some others where we're like that elephant and we never forget.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. And then in this, we have to understand if we allow our hurt to be in the hands of someone else, you give them too much power. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, forgiveness is a supernatural gift that God gave us as all believers. We all have this within us to forgive, as difficult as it may be. And let me tell you, most of the time, it's not our fault that it happened.
That's right.
But it is our fault to heal. I mean, it is our responsibility to heal. Right? So it may not be your fault, but it is your responsibility.
Amen.
Amen. That's tough, but amen.
Amen. Because I really want us to be a community that actually lives out the love of God.
Yeah.
I don't just want us to come and have good church services, but yet when we go home, our relationships are just faltering. All of our relationships are faltering. I want us to be strong in our relationships and be known by our love. And so
amen.
Genesis 25 starting in verse 27, and this is what I'm going to title the backstory. So let me give you the backstory to how we get to Jacob and Esau. And so Genesis 25 and 27, it says, as the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Verse 28, so Isaac, the father, loved Esau, who came out first, the oldest, because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home. But Rebekah, the mother, loved Jacob. Now, listen, we only got one kid, so he's our favorite. But I don't know about y'all, if y'all have multiple children, if there's one, you don't have to say it, especially if they're next to you. But I don't know if any of you have ever been around where parents prefer a child over the other.
Yeah.
And so if you could imagine.
And the child feels that, we know, right? Your children feel when you're favoritizing one over the other. And it creates a level of resentment and bitterness within them to say, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't my mom or dad love me as much as they love such and such? And this is a whole nother series for a whole nother day. We're not even trying to get into this.
Yeah.
But parents, it is our job to set the foundation at the house with our babies. Letting them feel loved just as they are. Not trying to change them into something we would like them to be. Because how many of y'all know we love our kids to be a whole lot of great things?
Amen.
But sometimes it doesn't always pan out the way we saw it panning out. And that's okay. That's okay. But we got to allow them to grow and we got to love them where they are.
So understand this backstory where Esau is loved by his father, Isaac. So he's a daddy's boy. And Jacob is loved by his mother, therefore he's his mother's child. That's the backstory. Now go to Genesis 27. Now we're going to set up the plot here. So understanding that the parents have their favorites, in Genesis 27 and verse 1, it says, one day when Isaac was old and turning blind, he called for Esau's older son and said, my son. He said, yes, father, Esau replied. I'm an old man now, Isaac said, and I do not know when I may die. Take your bow and your quiver full of arrows and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare my favorite dish and bring it here for me to eat. Then I will pronounce the blessing that belongs to you, my firstborn son, before I die. But Rebekah, and she loves who? Jacob, overheard what Isaac said to his son. That was her son too, just FYI. Right. So when Esau left to hunt for the wild game, she said to her son, it's my boy, who? Jacob, listen, I overheard your father. There's so many dynamics that
so
we're reading
going
right
on
now.
Right in the story, Lord.
Mm. We're trying not to touch on marriage and the family, but yeah, it's just already, that's your child. That's your daddy. Into who?
Here, verse 7.
I overheard your father say to Esau, bring me some wild game and prepare a delicious meal. Then I will bless you in the Lord's presence before I die. Now, my son, listen to me and do exactly as I tell you. So now she's teaching him how to trick. And teaching him how to scheme.
How to scheme, yeah. How to betray.
And so go out to the flocks and bring me 2 fine young goats. I'll use them to prepare your father's favorite dish. Then take the food to your father so he can eat it and bless you before he dies. So a mother in her own household is creating dissension against another half. So again, are you all starting to see the culture that's kind of building in this house?
Yeah.
Well, you all will also see later on, and I encourage you to read the book of Genesis, a whole lot of really excellent stories. You'll see that Rebekah's brother Laban had the same kind of scheming spirit as he, you know, later on with Jacob and marrying Leah
and Rachel.
Yeah. So this is family tendencies.
Mm. And how many of you know you can't choose your family? Amen. And we have to learn how to walk in forgiveness with our family. We can't just cut them off. Amen. But there's a way that we can, I know, we like, some of y'all
they say,
like,
you
yeah,
can't
listen,
cut them off.
We cutting them off. But and at the same time, we've got to learn how to love ourselves in the process and not allow them to keep hurting us the way they've always been doing.
So we've had the backstory, we had the setup. Now here is the infraction, and this is the major infraction. Jacob has already stolen the birthright from Esau, but now he's going for the blessing. Drop down to verse 30 in Genesis 27. And as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, because Jacob did what his mother said, and almost before Jacob had left his father, Esau returned from his hunt. Esau prepared a delicious meal and brought it to his father. Then he said, sit up, my father, and eat my wild game so you can give me your blessing. But Isaac asked him, who are you? Esau replied, it's your son, your firstborn son, Esau. And Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably and said, then who served me the wild game? I've already eaten it, and I blessed him just before you came. And yes, that blessing must stand. Mm. So now Esau was cheated out of what belonged to him by his own family.
When we talk about the currencies of life, this kind of hit all 4 of them, didn't it? Money, the birthright. His birthright was stolen. Money, his power, the love that his father had. And what was the last one? Money, power, love.
Respect.
It hit all of them. So then, what do we do, y'all, when the offense has hit every single aspect of something in life, and you're wanting us to forgive these jokers? Wait a minute.
And put ourselves in the context of Scripture, it was from the person who gave him birth. The person who was meant to nurture him set him up for destruction.
Yeah.
It gets real, like this word is real. So verse 34, when Esau heard his father's words, he let out a loud and bitter cry. Oh, my father, what about me? Bless me too, he begged. But Isaac said, your brother was here and he tricked me and he's taken away your blessing. Esau exclaimed, no wonder his name is Jacob, for now he has cheated me twice. First he took my rights as the firstborn and now he's stolen my blessing. Basically, everything that was supposed to have been given to me just as a result of being born I now have no access to because of no wrongdoing of my own. And he said, oh, haven't you saved even one blessing for me? In the balance of our time today, Ashley and I want to close out this conversation on closure and focus more so on rebuilding broken relationships. Rebuilding broken relationships. Can we all agree that Esau has found himself on the outs? And it's not because an enemy had him on the outs, but someone that he truly trusted betrayed him.
Amen.
His own blood let him down. And we find that looking at these two characters gives us a understanding of what it means to not only forgive, but what it means to actually have a pathway to reconciliation. And so
Amen.
When we're talking about reconciliation here, which is separate from forgiveness, the goal of reconciliation is to rebuild the health of your heart. Someone say, my heart.
My heart.
Someone type in, my heart. Not always does it mean returning into close proximity in a relationship. So when we're talking about reconciliation, we're talking about rebuilding your heart to the place in which you can function the way you were created to function.
Yep.
As we said before, no one or nothing should paralyze you to the point that you can't move until someone else begins to act. You have to take your life, your future, your destiny, your feelings into your own hands.
Amen.
And say, God, somehow by your grace, you're going to help me move forward from this devastating event.
Amen.
And now there are times where relationship and close proximity are able to be reestablished. There are times like that. But there are also times you will not be able to receive the closure that you are looking for.
Can I just say this about closure? A lot of times we think that closure is making things back how it used to be. No, that's not always how closure looks. Closure starts within you.
Yeah.
Really what closure is, another word for it is peace. Do I have peace? Because sometimes, I'm going to just say this, there are those who have transitioned, you can't get closure. So if closure was up to that other person, you'd never get it.
Yeah.
But closure's within you. Closure is the piece you need to move forward. And so a lot of times we've got to say, okay, Lord, this happened to me. That's the part of forgiveness. That's my part. How can I release them of that debt? That's closure. Once you've gotten to that place where if I see them on the street,
listen.
I'm serious. But none of those reactions come up. None of those emotions come back up. You'll know, you know, and then you'll say, that's done. That's done. I'm done. I'm over that. Whether you admit what you did or not, I'm done. I'm over it, right? You've gotten over that hump.
So I want to temper your expectations when it comes to closure, especially in relationships that aren't the best.
Yeah.
If we set our expectation in places that the Bible does not guarantee for us, we'll always set ourselves up for disappointment, which leads to further frustration.
Yep.
And so the only type of closure guaranteed to us through Scripture is that we are to have peace as we move forward. And how that comes and how that happens is left up to each individual time as we follow the leading of God's Spirit as we handle the nuances of our relationship. So we can't say that there is a set way that closure looks. The only thing that you can go for is, in my heart, I have peace to act and move forward in this matter.
Amen.
And so we want to talk about this pathway to reconciliation. Because as long as a person is alive, as Christians, we should have a place in our heart for us to be reconciled to our fellow brothers and sisters who are humans in this world.
Yeah. So that inquires...
Oh, I ain't get no amen.
No, I know, because it's not easy. That requires our heart being softened so that if the time should come and that person starts kind of... You start seeing a turnaround... Then okay, maybe, right? But we can't have this calloused, never, gnaw kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, they hurt me, gnaw, never. That's when you know that there's still something there, because there's a level of control they still have over your heart. So a lot of this stuff, this is an inside job, y'all. So when you see that person, or you're even thinking about that person, could this happen again? Well, I don't know. I'm open. If you're open, you're in a good space. You're in a good space. If you're not open, we need to kind of go back and say, okay, Lord, help me to release some of this stuff, because I still got it. It's still there.
And not only may it be a thing of control, it also could be a thing of pain.
Yeah.
Often when we forgive, we're forgiving ahead of our feelings that have caught up to that decision.
Absolutely.
Of forgiveness. And so you can forgive someone and be in extreme pain as a result of what took place, depending on the infraction. But you have to remind yourself that forgiveness is an act of faith.
Yes.
And feelings follow the direction of our faith, regardless as to how long it takes. There could be some things that take weeks, some things take months,
years.
Some things take years, some
yeah.
things take even decades to truly have the absence of the feeling of pain. But the decision of forgiveness has to be as soon as you are able, mm-hmm. by the grace of God. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right. So I want to say this too. Reconciliation is at the heart of God's perfect will and plan for our lives. That was a tough thing for me to swallow going through this word and looking at the Bible, because I thought for some people, just leave them on out there, Lord. Just let them
love you at a distance. We all heard that.
But I understood that the Bible story in of itself is a story of those in need of forgiveness, mm-hmm. receiving forgiveness, and then coming into reconciliation,
yeah.
as if the transgression never existed. That's his perfect plan and his perfect will for our life. But hear me out. When you deal with humans who are not perfect and they alter the perfect plan and perfect will, we have to adjust accordingly. But it doesn't change the heart of God concerning the matter. And that, unfortunately, has been lost in our accumulation of knowledge, information, and word, is that we've lost the heart of the gospel, which is to love and to forgive others the way God has forgiven us.
Mm-hmm.
This is a grown-up message, but also one of the most fundamental messages in the Christian faith. We would not have issues of people leaving the Christian faith if we just exercise love more. And so I want you all to go to Matthew chapter 5, because I want to give some parameters now. Because I've said some really tough statements. This is not easy. I did not intend on getting up here and saying and talking about forgiveness and reconciliation, and the congregation and those watching online said, yes, this is exactly what I was
hoping
for.
Exactly what I wanted to hear.
Oh my gosh. This is like, wait, well, hold on.
You don't know
what they did to me.
Yes, that's exactly what we come.
You don't know how they disrespected me.
Yeah. Or the pain.
You don't know what they stole from me.
The betrayal that happened. Yeah.
And my response to you is, but what have you done to God? And has he forgiven you every single time?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we start, on the forgiveness aspect. But now we have to have a pathway. Someone say pathway.
Pathway.
Pathway to reconciliation. I'm going to go ahead and give you all the definition of reconciliation. This is going to help. The definition of reconciliation is returning of something to their original state. It's the restoration of friendly interactions, as my wife alluded to, that when you see them, you are not ready to fight on sight. You are amicable.
Yes.
You all can be in each other's presence and exchange pleasantries.
Yes. Remember we said forgive, forget, but what?
Remember the lesson.
Right.
And so to restore now all rights and privileges, that takes time.
It does.
And sometimes therapy.
Yes. And it takes both parties working to do this. You can't reconcile something by yourself. You know what I'm saying.
You can't be the only one working.
You can't be the only one working, and then there's just no give to the only other person's end. No, when you come to forgiveness, that's on us, right? That's an individual without anybody's help. But when it comes to restoration, reconciliation, that requires both parties.
It takes two to make the thing go right.
Because there was a level of betrayal and trust has been broken, right? So in that instance, in that relationship, trust needs to be restored, which takes time.
It takes
time. That's not an overnight deal.
But I want you all to write this phrase down. Closure is not passive. You're not going to get closure being passive about the areas that have that are hurting in your heart and in your life. They will not just go away.
No.
And so Matthew chapter 5 gives, again, the perfect will of God concerning when we have issues with someone else. And in Matthew 5 and 23 and 24, it says, so if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. And so verse 23 and verse 24, without understanding the context, it may seem like I'm just supposed to immediately reconcile for everything. But there was an understanding in Jewish tradition that there were two different types of transgressions. The first transgression was when somebody commits the wrong unaware or in a moment where self-control seems to escape. Mm. Where you have a moment where I didn't mean it. We got heated and I said and I did something that I otherwise in my right mind would not have said or would not have done.
Yeah.
But the second type of transgression that it's referring to is when you commit the wrong deliberately, defiantly, callously, and fully aware of the wrong that has been done. And in those cases where it's deliberate, defiant, callous, and you are fully aware, a simple apology is not suffice. In this moment, before restoration can take place, there must be, number one, and this is key, an acknowledgement that the hurt was caused. Yeah. And let me tell you what acknowledgement of a hurt does not sound like. Well, I'm sorry you felt that way.
Oh.
That's not acknowledging the hurt.
Or justifying what happened. So, but you know what you was doing all this.
If you didn't say what you said, then I wouldn't have. That's not acknowledging the hurt that was caused. So before restoration takes place, especially when it's defiant, it's deliberate, it's callous,
they're aware,
they need to acknowledge the hurt that was caused. Number two, there needs to be a commitment to change and remedy any consequences caused by their transgression.
Do you see how this takes two people? Like, this is not a one-person job to do this. It takes both people coming to the table and saying, there was a wrong, acknowledging both parts, right? Because I will say, even in forgiveness, y'all, sometimes what happened wasn't your fault necessarily, or wasn't our fault necessarily, but what did we do? Did we do anything? And we have to acknowledge our part. Maybe not to the level that we got betrayed, but did we do something? Whatever that thing was, own it. Just own it. Yeah, I didn't do this. And that may have made you go off. That still don't justify why you went off.
That's right.
Right? But I'm going to own my part. I'm going to say, yeah, I probably did do something. I probably did do that.
So the pathway to reconciliation as found in Matthew 5, because this is the heart of God. Before we come in church, before we give, before we have our Christian service, if a person just accidentally messed up, hey, a simple apology,
that goes a long way.
An acknowledgement goes a long way. But when it's deliberate, that person not only needs to acknowledge what they did, but they need to help to rectify the damage that has been done. And be willing to do that. And for some people, that means going and getting therapy.
Yeah.
That means restitution financially.
Amen.
That means putting themselves in a place of accountability to show that I am serious about making this change.
Yeah.
But I want us to go to Genesis now 32. We're going to pick back up with the Jacob and Esau story. So, quick recap. Jacob and Esau. Jacob was loved by who? Esau was loved by who? And so Jacob's mother had what done to Esau? His blessing. Stolen. So now some time has passed. And in Genesis 32, verse 3, so Jacob now has grown. He's seen life. He's experienced his own level of being tricked and schemed. He's had some maturity. And I want to say this. If a person is truly led by God, and this is the caveat here, because everybody's not led by God. Everybody who reads the Bible is not a born-again Christian. Everyone hasn't had the full salvation experience. But if someone genuinely is a Christian, and there is an instance where there's a breakdown in the relationship, God is dealing with both parties on how to make that right.
Absolutely. Or he should be, yeah.
He's definitely dealing with both, especially if they hear his voice. Now, again, if you're talking to people who have no clue who God is, you cannot expect them to handle this right.
No.
And so in Genesis 32 and verse 3, then Jacob sent messengers ahead to his brother Esau, who was living in the region of Seir in the land of Edom. He told them, give this message to my master Esau, humble greetings from your servant. Interesting, Jacob. So his position has changed. Until now, I've been living with my uncle Laban, who's been tricking me. And now I own cattle, donkeys, flocks of sheep, goats, and many servants, both men and women. I have sent these messengers to inform my Lord of my coming, hoping that you will be friendly to me. Like, oh, Lord.
Hoping, yeah.
I hope it's not about to go off. In verse 6, after delivering the message, the messengers returned to Jacob and reported, we met your brother Esau, and he is already on his way to meet you. And not only him, but 400 men are coming to meet you. So, verse 7.
Already this sounds like it's about to go down. Here I was trying to do all this, trying to give back. And let me just tell you, if you are the person with the infraction and you're trying to make amends, sometimes your gift is not received. It could be our heart to want to make things right. If we're the person, I'm talking about if you're the person that did the betrayal, okay? You want to come back to that person. You want to make amends. You do whatever you know to do to make things right. And it just seems like you're hitting a wall with the other person. No, if that's okay, that person may not be ready where you are right now, okay? But in your heart still, you know, if they're open to meeting with you, because it might have been a bad thing you done. I don't know what you did. But if you really did something and that person is open, then you take the door. But you got to let that person be ready because you messed them over. Okay? So let them process, let them heal before they come to you. So it could be an amicable thing. Okay.
Absolutely. And so Jacob was terrified at that news and divided his household along with the flocks, herds, camels, into two groups. And he thought, if Esau meets one group and attacks it, perhaps the other group can escape. Mm. Verse 9, then Jacob prayed, O God of my grandfather Abraham.
He went to praying.
And God of my father Isaac. Mm. O Lord, you told me, return to your own land. So now he's going through all the promises. Like, listen, don't let them kill me right now. Lord, you have let me live and grow to this point. And as you promised me, I will treat you kindly. Verse 10, though, Jacob realized something. I am not worthy of all the unfailing love and faithfulness you have shown me, your servant. And he begins to keep on going, just talking about what God has done for him. Go to Genesis 33. So go to the next chapter, verse 1. Then Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel, and his two servants and wives. He put the servants' wives and their children out front, Leah and her children next, Rachel and Joseph last. Then Jacob went on ahead. As he approached his brother, before y'all read this, what would y'all think would go down right now? If you were Esau.
You know the hurt.
Yeah. You know the bitter cry.
Yeah. It
says, then Esau ran, or as he approached his brother, he bowed to the ground 7 times before him, an act of humility. Then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they both wept.
Yeah.
Such a powerful change of events based off of the pain that Esau felt. Both of them had lived life, and there was some time that passed between them. But there are four takeaways we want to give you from this story that will help you understand how to take this pathway of reconciliation. Number one, there has to be a desire to change for the better. There has to be a desire to change for the better.
You know, the Bible doesn't really talk about what Esau went through. We only see one brother's plight, which was Jacob. We saw how he acquired all the stuff and he was on the glow up kind of, right? He went from zero to nothing, or zero to 100, and he got all the stuff. We don't really see Esau's plight, but I see some of what Esau went through just by how he embraced his brother. So something happened where all four of those things hit him, yet he was still able to run to his brother and embrace him. Something happened on his journey where he got healing. He got his healing, regardless of what his brother did. So when he saw his brother, it was just a confirmation of this is done. This is behind us.
Esau didn't wait for this moment before he continued living his life.
No.
And in fact, all that Jacob wanted to offer him, Esau responded by saying, God has been overwhelmingly gracious. Yeah. You keep all that. And Jacob had to force the gifts to him because Esau just didn't need anything from his brother, which meant that the blessing he thought he lost, God was able to get
restore.
It to him in a completely different way than he thought.
Amen.
Number two, you need to value meekness, which is strength under control, and gentleness over pride and retribution. So you live from your values. What do you value more? Do you value having your strength under control? Just because you can crush someone doesn't mean you go crush someone.
Yeah.
Just because you can say things a certain way, and just because you have the justified right does not mean you should. Mm-hmm. When your value is meekness and gentleness over pride and getting them back, what you're saying is, God, I'm going to humbly submit this to you and allow you to make things right in your own time.
Yes.
Number three, this is for grown folk, and number three, regardless as to if you're the person who has done the wrong or you're on the other side of the wrong, number three, I want you to own your part in the situation. Because no one is perfect and things can always be handled better. Someone say and type in, own my part.
Own my part.
Own my part. You know, last week I told you all the different stories, the triumphs of me walking in forgiveness, but I want to be honest with you all. As a leader, especially as a leader of a church, there have been times I haven't done everything right, and there have been casualties, but there have been people who have been hurt as a result.
Broken relationships
as a result of my inability to lead at a higher level. And so, although there have been decisions in my heart as a pastor is to do things according to the book and do things as I'm led by the Lord, there's sometimes I don't do everything right. And as a leader, as my wife was saying before, everything might not be your fault, but whatever happens in your house, in your home, in your relationship, if you're the leader, it's your responsibility to make things right. And as I was thinking about broken relationships, you know, early on in leadership and even having a staff and having a team, when you're first starting a church, you don't know what it is that you need and what it is that you expect. And what happens is people come along for the journey, people come along for the ride. And there, as you go, you really discover, oh, I know they came along, but I actually need something different. And you discover that while they're on board. And when you have that revelation, there are some times that you have to make decisions that everybody does not like. And although they're justified decisions, they're tough decisions. And I can remember there was a dear couple who used to be actively involved in our ministry. And we had to make a tough decision and move in a different direction away from them. And that devastated the friendship side of the relationship, and that devastated, of course, the professional side of the relationship. And that bothered me, because you never want to see anybody hurt as a result of a decision that you have to make. But you realize that sometimes when you're working with friends, if you're going to go to the next level, sometimes you've got to make decisions everybody won't agree with. Mm-hmm. And those are those tough decisions, especially when you have friends working with you and for you. And I can remember at the top of this year, it's just something that I just couldn't shake. I remember putting a call into one of the individuals, and I said, listen, there were a whole lot of things that we could point out, and there are a whole lot of things that could have been done better, but I'm calling you today to let you know that I own my responsibility and my part of that entire situation, and I want to apologize to you. And what that did, you could sense there was a weight on both of us that we both carried. And we were both able to release that weight and talk and laugh and begin to rebuild the relationship side of things. There are going to be times where people are going to be upset with you. There are going to be times that you're not going to be popular. But it's the leader's job to go to individuals and make things right. And I'm looking not only here in person, but through the camera at leaders. And we just can't let relationships that we know, if we just say, hey, listen, no harm, no foul. How are you? How are things? If we can take that first step, how much of a weight are we going to alleviate for those and in ourselves as well?
And I will say, this requires a lot of time, y'all. Everything we talked about is not easy. We're going to put that out there. And it's going to take probably a minute for you to get to this space, and that's okay. The important thing is, wherever you are, let's not stay in that space. That's the important thing. Let's keep doing baby steps forward, okay? Like maybe, I'm not up to calling them yet. That's okay. Don't call them. Maybe pray for them. Ooh, we can start there, right? That's something you can do in your home. They don't even have to know you're doing it, right? And then what you're doing, by praying for them, you're just softening your heart. That's all you're doing. So that when God tells you, hey, it's time to reconnect the relationship, or even try to give an olive branch, because it might not reconnect how you thought, but just to try to give an olive branch out there, you'll be ready to take that next step.
Amen. Amen. That leads perfectly in our final point today, you all. Number 4, I want you all to be patient, because transformation and healing, they take time to develop.
Yeah.
Everyone, let's stand to our feet today. Be patient. This is a message really pairing this week and last week together. This is going to help you live above a drama and stress-filled life. You know, when the relationships, especially relationships that you care about, don't go well, that's added burden. You have a decrease in productivity. You're not as creative as you could be. You're not as joyful as you could be, because you're carrying so much of a hurt and so much of burden, so many burdens that stay with you. And our heart's desire, as we closed out this You Asked For It series, is to give you the word of God concerning God's heart as it relates to forgiveness, but give you a plan of action to help you rebuild broken relationships and just simply live with the heart of God. And if you all could just close your eyes with me today. This is going to be a twofold moment in time of prayer. The first invitation that I have today is for individuals who have you've tried and it just does not seem like you have the energy to forgive because of what was done. I want to invite you today to make that decision by faith. I want to challenge you today to make this decision knowing that this first is for you, your destiny, your future. I want to challenge you that as you make this decision, that you're going to see God meet you at the point of your commitment. You're going to sense just a freedom and a heaviness that lifts. But I also want to admonish you that when you make this decision, the pain, yes, it may still be there, but I need you to remind yourself that I've already forgiven them.
Amen.
And you're trusting God for the healing. So with every eye closed, because this is very personal, if you're watching online, I invite you as well. If you're in here today and say, I just need God's help to forgive some places and some people and some events in my life. And no one's looking around. It's between you, God, and just Ashley and I want to just know so we can get an agreement in prayer with you. If that's you, if you could slip your hand up so we know who to pray for today. I see that hand. God bless you. See that hand. God bless you. If you're watching online, just simply text us. Pray for me. 770-667-4899.
Amen. The Word of God says, cast your cares on me, for I care for you. Walking around with the hurt, with the betrayal, with the pain, that's too heavy. That's too heavy for you to carry as a person. It's too heavy for you to carry as a being. We were never meant to carry the hurt. And so by the Spirit of God, I just feel some of you are having a very hard time taking that next baby step. And that's okay, because God says, I'm there with you. And I'll help you. And I'll soften your heart. Whatever they stole, whatever was taken, I'll restore it unto you 10 times fold. Don't you worry about it. So in this moment, whoever it is that is dealing with a hardened heart to work forward, to walk forward in love, cast your cares. The Word of God says, come to me, all of you who are heavy laden. I'm going to give you the rest you need. So this morning, just make a decision. Father, this is heavy. Help me to cast it on you, for I know your love for me is great.
On the second side of this invitation this morning, you're a person, you've already made a decision to forgive. But as we were speaking, the Lord was putting names in your heart to reach out to. And you immediately were like, nope, 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 no, no, no. But the greater ask today is for wisdom. And if you're in here or online today and you're like, Lord, I need wisdom on how this reconciliation process needs to look, how this closure needs to look. If that's you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just slip your hand up at me so I know who to pray for as it relates to wisdom and reconciliation. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. So, Lord, we trust in your spirit of wisdom, who is also the spirit of peace. Help to grow us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to walk out this word. Help us to flee the temptation to be trivial. But we're asking that you grow us into the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're putting your word to the test, but as we obey your word, you're going to open up opportunities and realms of which we've never seen as we exercise our spiritual muscle to love the way you loved us. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.